Hello, it's me again, it's Mike. I'm heading home from my visit to the hospital and to the Amityville shopping mall. Shopping centre. Oh god, it's lovely and cosy in the car. I had another task to do and then I realised it meant me driving about 2 or 3 miles northeast to a supplier to pick up a special digital instrument. And then it dawned on me just as I pulled away in the car that I can order, if I phone before at 1 p.m. today, I can get it delivered to my door before 6. So no need to waste time and fuel going down there, because I know they've got them in stock. At least I had 2 in stock last night when I looked online. Screwfix, that's what it's called. And they've got a great delivery service. So, and I have an account with them. So I'm just going to go straight home. Things to do at home, and I'll save fuel, and I'll save time. And I've just got it delivered to the door for the sake of 5 minutes online. So that's what I'm doing. But I wanted to talk to you. That's just daft, because that wasn't what I was going to talk about. It's just crazy. It's just, yeah. Anyway, moving on very quickly now, I'm sorry. But I alluded in my morning thoughts this morning to, no, it was yesterday morning, apologies, the 12th, to the anniversary of my wife's mum's passing 10 years ago. And I alluded to the fact that there was a funny story behind that. Actually, as I sit here and think about it, it's a very, very funny story. And it's almost in 2 parts, but we'll put them together. So, her mum died, and we take it around these traffic lights because they're manic. Yeah, there we go. Hesitate and get beat with a red light again. Her mum died, obviously, and of course the family distraught and all kinds of things. So, come the day of the funeral, and the funeral directors down the house in the morning to pick up her mum's and her coffin. And it was upstairs, and very awkward to get a coffin up in some of these houses. Up the stairs and back down the stairs when it's loaded up, you might say. So anyway, the guys went up and put the lid back on the coffin, and the priest was there, and blah, blah, blah. It was a short trip over to the chapel. As a crow flies, probably, you know, about a third of a mile to half a mile max, but road wise, you know, probably about a mile. But anyway, so they screwed the coffin lid back down again, and then everybody was waiting in the front hall for the coffin to come down. At least the 2 guys who went up to get her mum, because you know, force too many, and these guys are experts anyway. And they were coming down the stairs, and they actually called for help. I don't mean called in a panic for help, but just said, look, could someone give us a wee hand here? And Jim Brody, who is the owner, director of the funeral service, took over for his old dad, John. John Brody's father was a very, very well-known funeral director in the area, and John was a gentleman. He even had a horse and, you know, the horse-drawn carriage, if you like, for the funerals, if you wanted it. He had his own horse, pony and trap, as it kind of, like, would go about the streets with at times, you know. But anyway, he died a good number of years ago, and Jim took over the business, and Jim is just as big a gentleman as his father was. So anyway, Jim called up the stairs to the guy, says, something wrong, he says, I think you better give us a wee hand, Jim. So Jim popped up the stairs. They're all dressed in their uniforms, of course. So he gave the guy coming down backwards a bit of a bolster to come down the steps, and what's wrong? He's done nothing. So anyway, he knew something was wrong, but of course at a funeral you don't want to say anything, so... So anyway, they got the coffin down and out into the hearse, and it was had been snowing heavily for 2 days, so the mum's house, which her younger bachelor brother still stays in, was at the bottom of a hill, and so you've got to try and get a kind of run and then turn almost sharp left up the hill, the steep part of the hill, to get up onto the main road, and as I said, it was snowing heavily, so yeah. So the hearse took off very cautiously, and the big family car which we were in, so myself, my wife and her sister and her man and her brother, in other words the direct family, were all in the big car behind. And as we followed the hearse up the hill, just as we got halfway up the hill, the hearse was struggling to get moving with the snow. So Jim jumped out of the hearse. He wasn't driving, one of these guys was driving. He jumped out of the hearse, came running back to the back of the hearse and started to push it. And he looked round at the car, because this time the car had to stop, and so he waved for assistance. So I jumped out, my brother-in-law, who's a big strapping guy, we both jumped out and we helped Jim push the hearse to the top of the brae. They got the hearse over to there, and Jim says to the guy driving, he says, whatever you do, it's all downhill now, but don't stop, keep going, no matter what, keep going, don't wait for us, we'll get there. So he had to come back with us and go into the big car, and the big car wouldn't get up the hill. So Jim said, right, we'll have to push this one up. So I jumped out, Jim jumped out, and the brother-in-law went to jump out to give a hand as well, and Jim, quick as a flash, says, no, Alan, you stay in the car, we need a lot of weight in the back wheels. And my brother-in-law thought he was kidding, and he called him, you cheeky bugger. He says, I'm not being funny. He says, get back in, we need your weight in the back wheels. So we had to jump back in, and of course me and Jim pushing up. But bear in mind that we're in our best togs, and these wheels are spinning, and snow's building up on our shins, and our trousers and our shoes. And we pushed it to the top of the hill, and it had to keep going to hit the main road, and we waited on us then, and then we got back in and got our way down. So anyway, that was fine. A lot of people couldn't get their cars down in the chapel, so they bought me a brae. Because of the snow, it wasn't they couldn't get down, they didn't want to risk the fact that they might not have got back up again, so they parked at the top of the hill and walked down the quarter mile down to the chapel, which meant the top of the road was kind of congested at the junction, which was causing all kind of mayhem. But anyway, the hearse had to go down and the family car had to go down. Fortunately, by the time the service was over and we come out, the local authorities, council plough and gritter had been down and helped clear the road a bit, so we got no issues with having to push the hearse or the big car up the hill again, plus the fact it was going all the way to the town of Shotts, which is even a higher level, but there were no incidents apart from the fact that we had to drive about 10 mile an hour all the way up there because of the snow conditions. Got to the cemetery, and of course the funeral service went on, my lord. The guys, you know, when you go to the service, I don't know how it's done in America, I know a lot of these places over there have these wee motorised kind of cradles. I don't know if that's just for the military or the police or people of importance. Is that standard fare? Maybe those people over in America and Canada would maybe want to tell me, do you have that, or do you just lower in the way we do over here with the cords? Normally there's 8 cords around the coffin, but there's always at least 2, if not 4, of the gravediggers there with the big belt straps, big wibbly coffin, and they're actually the ones that carry the weight and lower down, but you think you're carrying the weight, but you're not really. But it's a token gesture, in other words, that these 8 people are lowering the coffin, are laying the person to rest, in other words. So when the coffin had been laid in, I didn't know this, but Jim told us this later. It's Jim Brody, the funeral director. Jim told us later that this is about one of the grave diggers had come over to him at the service and whispered something in his ear. And Jim thought, oh, that's strange. So anyway, because he knew my wife's mother very, very dearly, in fact, very, very close. So, to cut a long story short now and get to the end of it, Jim said to my wife and her sister and family, you know, later on, not that day, but, you know, a good number of days later when he was down seeing him, this is one of the great services. They don't forget about the people involved. They come back and make sure that they're okay and everything's, the funeral was to their satisfaction and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, Jim had come back to my wife and her sister and said, look, I have to tell you that something very strange was going on, because the guys, or two men bringing the coffin down, said that the coffin was extremely heavy for her mother, the size of her mother. But of course, the lid had been screwed down by this point. So. And he said, and the guys at the cemetery had said to him that when they were lowering the coffin down, taking away, they knew themselves. Because they lift the coffin over in the first place to the boards before the people get their corpse. So he's like, that's a hell of a weight in that coffin, man. Anyway, nobody could explain it. Nobody could explain why would it be extremely heavy. You know. Until several months later, my wife was up at her brother's house. Not, she'd been up regularly in between that, of course, but several months later she was up with a particular task, and she wanted to go through the photograph albums and some other stuff with him and with her sister, who stays just across the road from him. And they couldn't find any photographs. They couldn't find any photographs whatsoever. All the albums, pictures and frames, things like that, they couldn't find anything at all. They couldn't find, and this is a spooky bit by the way, they couldn't find her alarm clock, which stopped, and this is the God's truth, because I was there, well I wasn't there when she died, but I knew about this. The clock, her favourite old alarm clock, stopped the second she died. Very spooky, that kind of stuff, you know. But they couldn't find it, and they couldn't find... Now, she was a great one for sitting in the big chair. Bear in mind, her wife's dad died a good number of years before it. Sitting in the big chair with the remote control, and when her brother was wanting to watch the sport or something, she would change channels to what she wanted to watch. And she'd stick it down the side of the chair so he couldn't get to it, and, you know, this kind of stuff. So... and this really annoyed him, but because it was his mother, he just tolerated it. But it used to infuriate him, you know, because he used to talk about it. Couldn't find the remote for the telly. They couldn't find so many things. And then it dawned on my wife and her sister why the coffin was so heavy. The brother had obviously put all the stuff in the coffin, but what he must have done, because if you know a person's lying in the coffin, well, their head and shoulders are visible in their arms, but below that, you know, it's like a cross drape. He must have lifted the drape back and put all the photographs, the ones in frames, the albums, the alarm clock, the remote control and everything, in the coffin, and then folded the drapes back over so that the guys from the funeral service wouldn't notice that there was anything in there. He must have stabbed it down the sides beside him. hence the extremely heavy leaden weight of an old, frail old woman. and everything else. Given the fact that the coffin was so heavy, it's a wonder it didn't help get the hearse up the hill. With all that weight in the back wheels. But to this day they still talk about that, and they still laugh at the fact that Granny, she was known, Granny when we were pushing that coffin up the hill, Granny having the last laugh on everybody. And it's absolutely true, because she could be a twisted soul at times, you know. Yes, she could be a very twisted soul. And my wife still talks about that. She, you know, still picture that yet. Vividly. Her lying in that coffin, laughing. Laughing at the antics he has at the back here. And we're not prepared to get the coffin exhumed to get the photograph albums, or the remote control, or the our alarm clock back. They're there, they'll be there forevermore. But sad to say that the family photographs, they have very few. The ones that we took ourselves as family, but not the ones that were taken with directly within the family, if you know what I mean. So all those, a lot of stuff lost, but yeah, the memories are still there. That's the main thing. Granny's funeral, well, what an escapade that was. Yeah, very good. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye for now. Cheerio, bye.